Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
I have these notes, but I gotta say I'm just fired up to be here today.
And the Bulldog.
Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
On WGR.
Come on! Get up! Come on, get up! If you're as psyched as I am!
Sports Radio 550.
Well, I'm surprised there's time for us with all the injury news.
Why don't you just name the players who aren't hurt?
You ever have someone say that? You ever hear, can you imagine somebody saying that?
Good one.
Here's one thing I thought about, and we have Eric Wood on the Wester Hotline. Hi, Eric.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. I bet there are times when a player is hurt, but for whatever reason, they're not listed. Like, nobody knows it. Maybe this was Matthew Stafford before, I don't know, yesterday. Like, suddenly we found out that Matthew Stafford was hurt four different ways, where the team doesn't want to make that a topic. And the player, especially if it's a quarterback, maybe, Eric, like, the player might be dealing with injuries and, like, you know, to whatever extent he might care about how he's perceived, guys like us are out there going, what's wrong with him? Like, this was terrible. Like, Mayfield or Stafford or somebody else. And they're out there going, I've got an injury, but I can't tell you for some reason, you know? Like, that seems to me to be something that could happen in the league.
Yeah, it definitely does. And it's such a sensitive topic nowadays because the teams get fined if they don't report those injuries. So if you're getting treatment with something in the facility, then they have to report it. I'm thinking back to 2011 when Ryan Fitzpatrick broke his ribs, and then I believe it was during like Super Bowl time that year, David Nelson was doing an interview and talked about how, you know, how affected the offense was when Fitz broke his ribs and no one really knew about it. And I'm not sure that the Bills got in trouble for that or, you know, how exactly that works, because he never missed any time. He never missed a game. And so that being said, you know, there's the injury rate in the NFL is 100%. So obviously not every little nick and bruise gets put on the injury report. It's stuff that could likely cause you to miss time, or if you miss practice, you have to report it. But I'd imagine that there's often very small injuries that go unreported.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, teams get in trouble, and, like, you know, that's probably only going to continue to be taken more seriously than ever with, like, the partnership the league and teams are making with gambling outlets. I mean, that's why that information needs to be known, right?
Like, I was going to say, is that for gambling purposes in fantasy football? You know, is that where it became such a finable offense?
Maybe. I'm not sure I could lay it out. But maybe, yeah, like, that seems right. I mean, teams, there's all kinds of stuff. Most things teams don't really want you to know. and if a guy, you know, we have this in hockey all the time, Eric. Now teams get away with not even specifying the injury. It's just upper body injury,
yeah.
Right. So, like, we don't want you to know where exactly this guy's problem is because you'll take advantage of it. I mean, think about playing the line. Like, that would easily make sense as a thing that a team would think it's, you know, a disadvantage if that got out. But right, they're supposed to tell you. Okay. Yeah. Well, Eric, I mean, here comes the biggest game. Like, just all these different combinations. I don't need to lay them all out. Night game too. Just how great is this week coming up?
It's fun. This is what makes sports fun. It's games like this that have a ton of emotion around it. Prime time, you know, everybody around the country will be looking forward to this game. Obviously, everybody in Buffalo and Patriots fans out there will be really looking forward to this one as well. I'm glad that the city of Buffalo gets to enjoy moments like this in a primetime atmosphere, because there was so many times throughout my career where I wished I was playing in a game of this magnitude. And I don't say that from a jealousy standpoint now or anything like that. I'm excited I get to call the game. It'll be a fun game to call, to be around. Shoot, from the second I drive to the stadium that day, it'll be fun to be a part of that atmosphere.
Yeah, I think a part of that, though, Eric, is sort of there's a lot of anxiety. I'm already feeling it today. I'm slightly ashamed to admit it, but I'm feeling it already. And this is it's new, right? I mean, to have a game of this magnitude between these two teams, I mean, it's just not something we have a lot of practice at. You know, the Bills only just got good last year, and it seemed like last year around holiday time, we vanquished the Patriots. Like, that's it. They're done. Bill Belichick threw a phone. Hooray! We're free. And now what? We're looking up at them in the standings again? What happened? It's been a quick few weeks here.
It was. I had lunch with my wife today, and I did tell her that, like, I knew the Patriots would be back, especially if Bill Belichick remained their head coach for the foreseeable future. I just wasn't ready to be this fast. Like, how the heck everybody let Mac Jones fall to 16 in the draft? There was actually an article in The Athletic about it the other day. That was a pretty good read. But it's like, I mean, how much are we overthinking things that we let Mac Jones fall to 16 in the draft? But that's a different story. But regardless, having some anxiety, like, to kind of do my point, like, that's what makes this fun.
Yep.
You know, for I was around – I went to the Louisville-Kentucky football game over the weekend, and it was at Louisville. Louisville got absolutely crushed. It's a rivalry game, and it's just a ton of trash talking afterwards and this and that. And I'm like, and that obviously incites some emotion, but, like, if there wasn't emotion on either side of sports, like, then I wouldn't care. Like, then sports uh-huh. wouldn't be so great. And the fact that for a whole week, I'm not going to say that you're going to be anxious and worried about the game every waking second, but the fact that we get to, like, focus on a game like that, even if it's not, you know, a pure positive emotion, like, that's fun. That's what makes sports fun.
I agree with you. I agree with you. Like, to me, ride the ride, right? This is part of the ride. You're going to be a contending team, and, you know, it's more just that they've sort of they got a lot bigger a lot faster than I guess a lot of us thought they would, right? I mean, I was fearful of Mac Jones. I spent the summer saying, forget about New England unless they play Mac Jones, because I'll be worried. I think there's a possibility they get competent play out of their quarterback, which they really didn't get last year from Cam Newton. They could be back, and sure enough, here they are.
For sure. And I would have rather played Mac Jones earlier in the season too, before he got a chance to get his feet wet through 12 games this season, sitting at 8-4, but that's okay too. I had a conversation with Steve Tasker off air earlier today, and we were talking about how most years through those times when the Bills were making all their Super Bowl runs, it would come down to a game, or obviously two games, but generally there was a late season game against the Dolphins where you're sitting right there about the same record, and that was for the division. And that's what makes it fun. It's almost an added playoff game. But Steve was telling me, it's like, it's, you know, this could likely be the case now if the Bills remain good and the Patriots remain good as well. It'll likely be like that most years, where one of the two teams will go in the division, and it's going to come down to that late game matchup between them, or late season matchup between them.
Yeah, yeah. I remember remembering you making that point about the way the schedule worked out last week, thinking maybe after yesterday, not that we want to – I don't really want to follow up with this, but, like, maybe it was good to play the Dolphins twice earlier and not now, because they seem like they might be getting their game on. But yeah, I know the point about New England is sort of what their trends have been, you know, historically, how they get even better later in the season. Eric Wood with us here.
Sure. And there's teams that say, man, the Bills got to play the Saints after all those injuries, and we had to play the Saints earlier in the season when they still had a very talented roster, despite moving on from Drew Brees, a very talented roster early in the season, and we played them, you know, as just a depleted team last Thursday.
Right. Hey, speaking of that game, we haven't talked to you about it, we were on pregame together, but and you have maybe Louisville versus Kentucky is fresher in your mind. I don't know if I have any questions about that one. But Bill Saints on Thanksgiving night, Eric. You know, I don't know if I learned a lot about how good the Bills were. It's another game where they ended up winning easily. You know, obviously that's a good thing. Was it stressful for you? How'd you feel like at halftime of the game Thursday night? Were you worried for them?
No, I wasn't worried. I'll tell my couple biggest positive takeaways from the game, because when you beat a team like that, you know, it's just hard to draw too many conclusions from it. But I will say this. The Saints were going to come in and try to run the football and at least mimic some of what Indianapolis did to be successful against the Bills, and they hold them to under 2 yards a carry. I don't care if you're missing your right tackle and your two starting running backs. Holding someone under 2 yards a carry is a great sign. The next positive I would say is, although the Bills didn't run the ball effectively, their play action was great again. Brian Daboll, a couple really creative plays where he had Gabriel Davis block on, you know, motions him in to block, and then after he blocks, he releases out the guy who was guarding him man-to-man, triggers towards the quarterback, and he's wide open. I believe it was a third and short there, and then fourth and short. Does a similar concept with Dawson Knox, and he scores a touchdown. I like that the screen game looks like an added element now that the Bills can use, especially with Breida back there. And then I don't know if this is like a true positive, but I like that, you know, like even this late in the season, the Bills were sitting at 6-4 heading into the game. Like Sean McDermott still is doing Sean McDermott things of constantly making it so that no one's comfortable. You know, we saw McKenzie down for the game. We saw Zach Moss inactive as well. And then Vernon Butler in a defensive tackle room that's pretty depleted, they still put Vernon Butler down for the game. You know, I think that's, I don't want to say, I'm not in the locker room, so I hope this is factual, but it seems like a pretty healthy message, like, hey, like we're still willing to turn over any stone we can, and although you want guys to play confident, you also are keeping kind of your foot down.
Eric, speaking of Matt Breida, like just what do you see? Obviously, the speed is something that they were lacking, and it took them a while to decide to give that a try. Do you think that will continue? Like, is Breida going to be even maybe implemented more so into the game plan, or do you think what we saw on Thursday was just about right for him?
I think you can. Probably what we saw the other night is about what you'll see, but that's somewhere between 10 and 15 touches, which is funny because that's right about where we all put that over-under mark prior to the game on the roundtable. Like, literally right there, we were all in the same exact spot. And so looking at that, that's kind of funny that we were all correct, but that's about what it'll be. I mean, the Bills just have so many weapons on offense, you don't want to say, okay, well, let's take the ball out of Beasley's hands, Diggs' hands, Sanders' hands, Knox's hands at this point. Davis, okay, like we want to get Breida the ball, but let's not force it too much. And I don't know. Maybe like when I'm looking at this, I'm like, you know, you talk about different times of the year, you're playing different teams, and generally injuries happen. And yes, you may be peaking as a team, but you got guys stepping in. Like it seems like the Bills just like added a pretty significant piece to this offense, this new piece. Mm-hmm. And, you know, no one necessarily had to get hurt in the running back room to do it. Just kind of had to figure out his role. And it was one of the last two games. I think it was the Saints game, but it could have been the week before against the Colts. Matt Breida was left in on a third down, and prior they've been, you know, running a lot of routes out of the backfield with him. Well, you do enough of that, teams are going to game plan that and know that they can blitz you, and he's not going to be able to pick it up. He had a great blitz pickup that, in the moment, I even thought, okay, that allows Brian Daboll to even trust him with a further role.
Eric Wood with us on the Western Hotline. The Bills and the Patriots next Monday night. We're going to need a week to sort of hype this game. Eric, it's the first of two meetings, going back to how we were talking about how the schedule fell this year. The Bills and Patriots will meet 20 days later. Do you think that means anything to how these teams prepare for this game? Does it matter maybe less to the Patriots, who have, I mean, it's a half game, but have the lead or are playing on the road? I mean, we you look at it and think about if New England were to win and be up 9-4 to 7-5 with the Bills then going to Tampa. It might not turn out badly, but it'll feel a little bit bleak here, I think, if that happens. I don't know. Like, is there some strategic element here about the fact that they're meeting twice so close together that sort of appeals to you?
Not necessarily. Other than not for this matchup. I think both teams are going to go all in to do whatever they can to win this matchup. It's obviously critical for the Bills, and if the Patriots were to win, that puts them with a pretty commanding lead. So both teams are going to go all in. Where it comes up again in your preparation the second time is, I know from a player standpoint, it becomes a little bit easier because you just prepared for their defense or their offense, whoever the opposing team is, if you're playing someone this close. And then you always got to assume that the teams are going to do something different. If something worked the last time, you obviously expect to see that again. You know, I'm thinking of it from an offensive line standpoint. Okay, if they had a blitz that hit home, if it got to the quarterback, okay, we have to be prepared for that because we're going to see that at some point. And then likely, as soon as we pick it up the next time, there will be something that looks like that that's going to be coming from somewhere else. So that's kind of where my mind would go. And it's so fresh with just 20 days in between the games.
Mm-hmm.
Eric, I have a feeling you could probably write a thesis on the question I'm about to ask you. So I recognize that, you know, time will get tight here. But just casually talking in the first hour of the show, Belichick's reputation for confusing quarterbacks comes up. And you hear football fans say that. I mean, just there's no shortage of people that want to tell you that, whether they worked or played in the game or they just have looked at it and talked about it for years like we have from the outside. What can you lend to a conversation for our audience about what it is, something specific that Belichick is known for doing that is just so much harder than dealing with almost anyone else in the sport?
Yeah. To make it as simple as possible, they always give you a little bit something different than you saw on film. So whether that's a blitz, whether that's just an alignment, something that they've identified that would just make things in their mind a touch more difficult on you or make you adjust, especially early in the game. And then you're generally going to get some type of blitz or pressure that you may not have seen. And it might not be plainly obvious to someone casually watching the game or even someone calling the game, like in my perspective. It might not be something obvious. It would be something that we'd see on, you know, the sideline when we'd look at the pictures after the series, like, okay, this is kind of what they're doing for this game. So it requires you to make in-game adjustments, which for young guys can be difficult at times. And then for quarterbacks, they're generally going to try and take away your top weapon. So however they do it, whether that was with their top cover guy and press man or some type of double coverage, whether it's someone over the top, they're going to try to take away what you do best for a quarterback. They're likely going to try to take away your top target, force you to go elsewhere with the ball, and then kind of try and trap you when they know you're going to do that. But it seems like lately what the Patriots have done is they've kind of assembled a lot of good back-end players on their defense. They played a lot of man-to-man defense, especially on third down, giving you kind of some exotic looks up front with a lot of picks on the offensive lineman. And so the guys are going to get on you pretty quick. So if you're a quarterback, you got to understand you're probably not going to have that much time to throw the ball. And then you got guys on the outside playing man. If you run a lot of stuff across the middle, someone's going to be sitting in that area to take that away. Or if you take a lot of deep shots, they're probably going to keep the safeties high.
I'm going to want to see Allen run the ball in this game, I think. You know, right early on in Kansas City, they were able to do that, and I think you probably can get some adjustments made by a defense if he's able to sort of gash you like he was, and he can. So I'm going to want to see that in this game. I think we have next Monday to fixate on things like that. Diggs, speaking of matchups too, I want to say Diggs against Lattimore, Eric, like Monday night, what about maybe Emmanuel Sanders goes off or Beasley or something else? Because Lattimore has been so good shutting down the top guys, and Diggs just worked them. Like, it was just that guy is so good.
That route on the goal line was incredible. Yeah. And, you know, he does that huge hesitation just knowing that the Bills are going to run play action. If he gets open too fast, then it doesn't matter. He needs to get open,
right,
like,
right.
In a certain second, like, half-second window, he's got to get open. So he knows by doing that huge kind of Stevie Johnson-esque hesitation move that that's going to allow Josh the time to do the play action. He gets them to go inside, gets them to turn completely around on the goal line. But I think Diggs was great in that game. And he's a heck of a receiver. And, you know, he forced the one ball to him. And, you know, it's so hard for me to diagnose who's at fault on interceptions. It appears like that guy ran the route for him and Josh threw it right to him. I don't know if there was some type of miscommunication there, but at times this year, even if teams are trying to take him away, trying to take Diggs away, or, you know, it's their best cover guy over there, it seems like the Bills offensively have been about their most successful when they say, oh, well, we'll just throw it to him anyways.
Eric, a pleasure as always. What do you have? We didn't get to the Thanksgiving, the weigh-in. I saw the scales.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So over 10 pounds for me, both the kids. This was the kids' first year participating. You know, one didn't gain any weight, literally down to the 10th was the same. I think that was Grace. And then I tweeted that she used the restroom. So that probably affected that. Like I'm like, competitively, you want to hold your pee because it all counts. And then my son, he gained 0.6 pounds, which when you consider he only weighs 42 pounds, that's pretty good. And then I was at 10.6. I was obviously the winner.
Yeah, it sounds decisive. A decisive victory by you against your kids in the Thanksgiving weight contest. Well, I'm glad.
And I still like get a workout in the morning. I've gotten the sauna so I can, like, really get that weight down before the weigh-in. Like, I'm still competing, even if it is just against myself. And then, you know, if you drink enough, you get rehydrated, have a few beers, you know, there's some wine mixed in, eat a good meal. I think it's a lot easier than people think. I could coach people up how to do it.
Might be tougher for the kids without the beer and wine. Like, what, juice boxes all day? That's, hey, kids.
Yeah, like, drink.
No, here, have another can of pop.
Completely the opposite of usual parenting. Just go ahead and pound that box of donuts. Just go ahead, just drink all the juice boxes. Well, I'm sure you're doing a great job.
Well, I appreciate that. we've had an incident. We could talk about it on another week, or maybe you guys can text me off air. My son, and I have no idea how, because me or my wife don't use language like this, especially around them. I don't know if someone's got an older sibling at school, but he'll be four in January. And he said MF-er, not around us, but around our daughter where she heard it and told us. And then, like, some of Leslie's cousins heard it. And so now I don't know, like, we're, like, trying to navigate that, like, yeah. All right, buddy, you, like, truly cannot say that. That is about as bad as it gets. Yeah. And you definitely can't say it at school, but really don't say it at all. And then her daughter was like, well, what if I think it? I'm like, well, don't even put it in your head. Like, stop, guys. Like, where'd you even hear it? Like,
he's
but they
three.
Can't even tell us where they heard.
He's three.
I'm like, what the heck is going on?
What is going on? Good luck.
We had some good laughs while everyone was over yesterday. And then eventually we're like, okay, we got to figure this out.
Right, yeah. No, yeah, it's fun when you're sitting around with the adults like, oh, look, the kids swore. Yeah, it's great until hilarious. They swear at the teacher. Like, then not yes. so great then.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's hilarious until it's not. Very good.
Right.
Thanks, Eric. We'll talk next Monday.
Okay, sounds great. Looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Have a great week.
You too.
All right, there's Eric Wood, his appearance here on WGR, part of Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Jim's Steakhouse, celebrating 40 years of mouthwatering hoagies and chicken finger subs, as well as by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Bills and Patriots Monday night, we'll look at the numbers. Who is thought to be the better team here? Who do you think is the better team going in? 803-0550, maybe you watched New England yesterday and had some sort of new impression on the Patriots as they pulled away from Tennessee. For 8-4. Both teams, in fact, now 8-4. The Patriots and the Titans. Bills at 7-4 with the big matchup coming up next week. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here with Sneaky Joe. You can join us at 803-0550. Sal Capaccio at 5. Paul Hamilton and Sabres pregame at 6 here on WGR.
We don't really focus on that. It's just one game at a time. we don't really focus on that. It's just one game at a time that we can focus on. And we know that we're not going to get in with seven wins. We know that we're not going to not make it with four losses. You know what I'm saying? So we got to continue to find ways to play the best of our abilities as these weeks go by. And, you know, we got a long week to kind of look at the next opponent and go on from there.
Yeah. One game at a time. Sure, right. Josh Allen there, Bills and Patriots next Monday night to end week 13. Week 12 is not over tonight. It's Seattle at Washington. In hockey, it's Seattle at Buffalo on WGR. 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock pregame. What was that sound for?
Seattle and Washington.
Bad?
Yeah, you know. Let's say I'm glad there's a hockey game. That's all.
Is Seattle becoming that team? They're painful to watch.
I cannot get with you on this just because of the fantasy element tonight. It's massive.
It's kind of feeling that way, Joe. Like they should be better than they are, maybe, right? I mean, with at least with the quarterback and the receivers. So I don't know. I guess I'm done with them. They're playing my least favorite sports organization on earth. Not real. Although I got some interest here. I've got a lead, and I'm playing Lockett, and I've got Heinicke. So,
now we're talking.
So there's stuff there for me if I want it, but this game aesthetically does not move me at all.
I am having a – you're talking about how you feel nervous about the Bills game already.
Yeah.
You know, it's a easy enough concept. You care about it. If you really care about it, the idea of losing has got to hurt a little bit. Mm-hmm. You've got to be – you can't be comfortable with the idea of losing or else you really don't care. Like, that's the giveaway. So,
yep.
This means you care. So, that's fine. What was I going to say?
I don't know. It seemed like a weird place to stop.
So. You're this way about something about. Was I going to make a fantasy point? Oh, yeah. I don't know.
You're going to say you got anxiety about tonight.
Yes, I do.
Because of fantasy, that's what you were going to say, and like something was stopping you, but that's where you were going.
And you know, it's a good thing that I didn't think of it there because this is a memory I want to block out. The worst fantasy beat of my life was a Monday night game in Washington. 5 or 6 years ago, Kirk Cousins was the Washington quarterback. And I just needed like a small number of points from Washington that never came. And it was an awful game. They lost to Carolina. And I remember I went out for the game because it was kind of going to be a celebration. And then I left at like halftime. I have to sit in a small room by myself. And just stare at it and be in my misery. Unless I win, and that did not happen. So that's how I had to experience that. Mm-hmm. And tonight is huge like that. Oh, it's bigger, but it's like that for me. And I'm a pretty big favorite with my partner here. Like, we're a pretty big favorite. I could tell you if you care. It's not much, but it's still not a given. Mm-hmm. And so we've talked about, like, going out, celebrate, kind of, like, enjoy this. But it's a Monday night game in Washington, and I have a problem because that is what happened to me the other time. It was Washington, uh-huh. And like right. I don't know. Like I have no control right. over it.
Well, yeah, you're being like fans. Well, I mean you're for different reasons, but it's the same concept. I mean this is why like a guy who's been a Bills fan since 1970. Calls us and say they always let me down. Like you've got memories of caring a lot, pouring everything into it, and then in the end being disappointed. And so they're carrying that around, and you're carrying around this game in Washington that was a bad fantasy beat, however many years ago, and it's creeping into your stream of consciousness enough that you're hesitant to go try to do something fun tonight because you're afraid it's going to end. Terribly the way it did last time.
Also, I feel like I'm overdue for a crushing beat. Like it's been kind of a nice ride for the most part this year. I'm sort of overdue. That Prescott game, was that like week 2 or something? But I'm sort of overdue for a bad loss. Well, yeah, Belichick. Like you could say that to your point also, like I've watched the Bills lose to Belichick to New England so many times that it's hard for me to imagine them beating the Patriots in like a spot that's big for both teams like this.
Yeah, right.
So it certainly makes sense. Belichick on a Boston radio show today said, they certainly don't like me about Bills fans. That's not surprising to him, is it?
I would think not. No.
Is that something is really telling you or he just assumes? Or like what kind of, not that I really want to know probably, but what kind of firsthand?
Oh, wow.
You know?
I don't know. Like what?
What does he mean exactly? What is he thinking of?
Do people send him letters that he reads? Letters. Like I can't imagine that that's the case. You come here once a year for this amount of time. You probably have picked up on, you know, if you're perceptive at all. The bigger surprise might be that he thought to mention it at all and is paying attention to what people think of him.
Yeah, that it would even come out of his mouth, right?
He mostly comes off like he doesn't, you know, wouldn't even know, like what's their fan base called? What is it? Whatever. But that's how he seems like to me. So I guess if there's a surprise in that, it's that he acknowledged their existence, the fans' existence, and their opinion of him.
Yeah, like, right. Good point. Like, what would you expect him to say normally? Like, yeah, whatever. Of course other teams' fans wouldn't like the coach of this team. Why would they? So, more matter of fact, but yeah. Well, I mean, he's right.
Oh, yeah.
It goes back. It goes back most of his career. I mean, it goes back to 1990. Where we either, of course there were episodes where, like, you know, we would get really combative about the guy. And those weren't so much Bills things necessarily as Deflategate, Spygate, you know.
Right. All the gates.
The first thing that sort of, I don't have the longest list, but the first thing that bugs me about him is a couple of times, and I don't even know if I should be bothered by this, but a couple of times at Super Bowls where he wouldn't shake hands.
Right.
And to me, like, that is something just why would it ever get to that point?
Yeah.
With Coughlin. And, you know, maybe they went and hugged in the back or something. Like, I don't even know. But it's just sort of like, really? You can't even find the sort of the strength to congratulate the guy. But he's not always like that. And he's had.
No, he isn't. Say it's no, it's happened. And it's, you know, it just, dude, come on.
Dude, like, come on.
What are you doing there? You know, just be. Be gracious. You lost. Go, you know, go be decent. I don't know whatever motivated him in those situations, but it's never been a good look when anybody does it, let alone the most legendary coach in the sport.
Yeah, kind of a bigger than the game sort of air about that. But I don't know. I'm careful, I think, mostly at least, to not try to make these judgments about people that we don't know at all. So, I mean, there are times when he's brilliant, and there are times when, like, I'm in the media, and he'll do a press conference, and it's just, like, painful to me to listen to. Joe loves to play it. Joe loves to listen to it when Belichick is just, like, super short and difficult on a conference call or a press conference. I hate it because I sort of have this feeling like I'm in that room, and to me that's a very uncomfortable feeling. But I also think, I mean, there are, I don't know, half the questions where I'd sort of want to be like, okay, what are you really asking me? I mean, so I can sort of get why a lot of the time he would just want to blow it off or not be that respectful about it. You want to be respectful to the person at least. So I don't know. It goes around and around. But I there are times in those same settings when he's just amazing.
Right.
And
when he goes in on long snapping or something.
Any, right. Any, like right. The it's almost like it's often the most trivial, mundane thing about the sport that sort of lights him up. And he probably feels like, I don't have any worries about what I'm giving away here. I can just talk about this like, you know, I'm out of the game already. I can just talk about this from my experience and not be giving away state secrets. So, I mean, there are times when I appreciate that. I want that from coaches way more often, and that they don't sort of act like they can't tell you anything because, you know, what am I giving away here? Yeah. So he can be great like that. But, yeah, I mean, a long and super successful career. Now he comes back in, like, this is such a big spot for both teams. Really cool game here next Monday night. We'll look for more of your calls as we go throughout the day. Getting connected with our fans brought to you by Bond, Schenick & King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. By the way, I mean, a couple of our highlights over the years are him flipping out. One is the phone last year, and also that game they lost to Fitz's team when he stormed the sideline complaining about time management or the
right
play that was stopped at the one-yard line or whatever it was that day, 2011, that he was mad about. I mean, few and far between, but they're highlights to us because the Bills have had such little success against him, and to see him sort of lose his cool in those games is, you know, fun. Sal coming up at 5. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Tonight ends Week 12, and then here comes Week 13, Thursday night. Join me in the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em Contest. Get your picks in for Week 13. Give yourself a chance to win up to $1,000. That's up for grabs each week. Text PICKS to 20357 to play. It's free. No point spreads or anything. Just pick the winners. The Thursday night game this week is Dallas at New Orleans. And lots of drama with Dallas. Mike McCarthy on the COVID list. He says Dan Quinn will coach in his place. If, or even now, we might even know that he might not be available for that game. Whatever it is, if he's not there, Quinn, former Atlanta coach, who is their defensive coordinator. 8 players today on the COVID list for Dallas. They had a few coaches miss the game on Thanksgiving from being having tested positive.
Yeah, the first thing I saw on this today said he would not coach on Thursday, but I don't know if that was like official, but that was how what I read was written.
Hey, by the way, and we have Sal coming up. Maybe even we ask Sal this, although the Saints game might feel like a long time ago and just irrelevant already by now. But we were all talking about Taysom Hill being a big X factor for the Saints in that game. He was active and never played. And today, they play Thursday night again, and today they're saying he should be the starting quarterback for this game against the Cowboys. What's up with that? Like, were we talked about this Friday, right? Like, was I just wrong or naive in thinking, like, I thought he was available to them for the Bills game.
I know. I didn't hear anything about him being compromised health-wise until after the game. We covered it a lot. We talked about it on the roundtable. Like, I think Chris Brown and I agreed, like, they're going to just line up Taysom Hill and run him until the Bills show they can stop him. And the guy never took a snap. And so I don't know if that was short week related. You know, they didn't want to make a big switch like that with a short week and the holiday and everything. I don't know. Or if it was to protect him, but it sounds like, when they play this week, that there's going to be a healthy dose of that. So I don't know, maybe the Bills caught a break. I don't know how much different the game is if he plays. But
he did miss the week before, the game before, to your short week idea against the Eagles.
But reading on him, Nick Underhill is one I read on him from The Athletic. Like, basically, the assumption is they just punted on the game. That Hill had plantar fasciitis. They didn't think he was 100%. That they knew that they were already shorthanded going into that Bills game against a really good team, and they made the decision that we're just not going to play Hill because we need him after this game to be 100% healthy because we will still be in the playoff race.
NFC and opponents.
Especially by the time you get to the second half and everyone starts wondering, all right, you're down 17 and it's the third quarter, like, all right, this is the time where you usually see a quarterback change like that. Sean Payton probably just thought, what's the point? I need him next week. I'm not going to put him in here for a game we're going to lose anyway.
I wonder if the game had stayed closer had they might have used him, but I don't know. It's expected that he'll play and maybe even start at quarterback for the Saints Thursday night. Bills and Patriots next Monday night. Just a great matchup. New England wins yesterday, 8-4, 7-4, so much at stake. We'll talk to Sal Capaccio about the matchup and a few different angles, and we'll do that a lot between now and next Monday, of course. Stay tuned, and you can give us a call afterward, 803-0550 to be on. Sabres pregame at 6, Buffalo versus Seattle tonight downtown. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.